We have begun to ask the question, who is God? It's certainly not the old white man in the sky with all the feminine aspects ripped out. Something has been stolen from us. Our sacred interior has been ransacked, and we have lost the understanding of God who loves us, who delights in us. This is vital because when we know God feels this way about us, we are free to feel this way about ourselves, and we were meant to feel this way about ourselves. Religion has stolen that God and replaced it with a God who is volatile, masculine, transactional, and abusive. Whatever bristling feeling you may have when you think about God is because you have been robbed of this full-on love fest with God. Beloved, it's time to fix that.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. So glad you're here. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Well, welcome everyone. Connect with us. And please share, support, rate, 5 stars. We really appreciate it. And you can find out all about what we do at freedhearts.org. And that's how you get in touch with us as well, right through the website there. You know, we are going to continue, as we have been for now several weeks, deconstructing religious baggage. Oh, doesn't that sound fun? With laughter and love. Thanks for the laughter and the love. I want to kind of stop for a minute and do a little disclaimer, because I know that some people out there are like, oh, you're not even Christian anymore, or I don't want to, it's scary to deconstruct my faith and all this. I want to reassure you, beloved, that this process has brought us closer to Jesus. We feel like we know God, the divine, the universe more. We're more like Jesus than we ever were as part of the religious Christian church.
Yes.
So
preach it.
Yeah. So I just want your heart to be at peace. If you need to go back and listen again to episodes, do that. If you need to email us, you can do that, podcast@freedhearts.org. Just stay on the journey. And I also want to reassure you and remind you that Jesus was the OG deconstructor, the original gangster, the original God deconstructor. Here are just some of the things that he deconstructed: sin, the law, who is God, the fall of humanity, heaven and hell. All of those things, Jesus,
women.
Right, the role of women, the role of religious leaders, all of those things Jesus deconstructed. So when we deconstruct all of those things, when you deconstruct all of those things in the coming weeks with us, we're all in good company. So there we go. Rest assured.
Yay.
You know, we've been asking the questions, who is God? Well, that's a vital question. Now, God is not the old white man in the sky with all the feminine traits ripped out, despite the Bible being full of a feminine imagery and feminine pronouns. And we will deconstruct the Bible later, but not today. But something in all of this has been stolen from us, beloved. Our sacred interior has been ransacked, outright breaking and entering. And our most valuable possession is gone. What is that? It's a whole and healthy understanding of a God who loves us, dotes on us, delights in us, and wants nothing more than a free and flowing relationship, a love fest, if you will. Now, this is vital because when we know God feels this way about us, and God does feel this way about us, about you, about me, we are free to feel this way about ourselves. We were meant to feel this way about ourselves. I believe this kind of God or higher self or universe is our birthright and transcends culture and religion. But these thieves out there have stolen that God and replaced it with a God who is volatile, masculine, transactional, and honestly, ultimately abusive. And that is the God that just permeates not just religion, but our culture. Now, whatever kind of bristling feeling you may have when you think about God or even hear the word God is exactly because you've been robbed of this full-on love fest with God.
That is very well put. That's so true. So I want to start us off with a parable. Yeah. So let's say you grew up with a single mom. She's going to represent the church here. She did her best with you as well as she knew, and you're doing fine today. Thank you very much. And then there's Dad. He's going to be God here. And please excuse the gendering. It's just for this story. And because we have such a patriarchal history among us that we're just using this for the story. Dad left you when you were little. Maybe you barely remember him. Maybe he was someone you loved to pieces when you were little. He was your hero. But then he abandoned you and mom, and you haven't seen him since. Or maybe you tolerate him at holidays, but can't wait to get back to your real life. Or maybe you never knew him at all. Maybe he died in the war, and your mom really doesn't have good things to say about him, even if she ever does talk about him. And you have no patience for him either, and you don't even want to think about him anymore. So let's say one day you're cleaning out your mom's attic and you come across a pile of letters from your dad to you. Letters that pour out your dad's love to you, how much he always read to you at night, how he took you to the park, and you loved so much for him to push you on the swings, for him to throw the ball with you. And he explained that when things fell apart, he tried to get in touch with you. He tried to see you, but your mom prevented him. He wrote all these letters. He sent you gifts, but she never gave them to you. Suddenly, this hated person that you needed to hate, you needed him and you had to hate him because you felt so rejected, because he crushed your young heart. Suddenly, the ground under that shifts for you, and suddenly you see him in a whole new light. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you're plenty pissed, and you've got a lot of questions, and you've got some things to say to mom, like, how could you watch me all these years crying my heart out, wanting my dad so badly, wondering what I'd done to cause him to leave? And here you have these letters, and you didn't tell me. What were you thinking? Were you trying to one-up him? Was I just all about the support checks? What happened in you that you could hate me so much to deny me my own father? This is a story of what religion has done to our birthright to a God who adores us. And anger is a perfectly appropriate response. Yeah. Suspicion of whether this could really be true, reluctance to meet God and needing God to explain himself after all these years, all of that is perfectly appropriate. Mm-hmm. The last thing in the world I would ask of you is to fake it like some fake sick thing. That's not what we're saying here.
No.
And I do thank you for your willingness to have this hard conversation.
Yeah, and to stay on the journey when it gets really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've already talked about the church's mixed motives. Like this mom, the Rules Church had its own reasons to deny you a relationship with God, to look good, to be needed, to save face, for support checks.
Well, let me back up just a second, because you deny this relationship with God. Let me flush that out just a bit. Uh-huh. It's to deny you the truth about who you are in God's eyes.
Yes.
About who God is, about how you are unconditionally loved, about the truth about heaven and hell and all that stuff. Again, that we've gotten to some of it, we're going to get to all of it.
Yeah.
That's what they've been denying.
Yeah. To deny you that God loves you exactly as you are is really a travesty. It's really a crime against you.
And again, the reasons, again, for for profit, for power, for influence, to look good, to be needed, to save face, to differentiate themselves from the church across the street.
Right.
You know, God is, you know.
They break you and then sell you crutches. That's what they do. Mm. And, you know, like this mom who has denied, the church has denied the God's nurturing qualities, the care, the love, the bedtime stories, the chasing away the monster of the terror in the middle of the night, and how very much God adores you. Mm. This part of the church has argued with God about theology, believing that if they tell you that God's love is unconditional, you won't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so infuriating.
Yeah. Codependent, sociopathic, narcissistic.
If we tell you that there's not an answer to be found because you already have the answer, that you're not fallen and you don't need to be saved from anything because you're already fully acceptable, then the church is terrified that you'll go, well, then why am I here?
Right.
Which reveals they've lost the reason why they are there, and that's right. Community and love and support, that kind of thing.
And reaching the outlier and being the love in the world right. that they're told to be, and caring for the poor and the needy, and all kinds of things they could be doing. They've completely misunderstood their role. They've lost the plot.
Yeah.
And the relationship that was pure and simple, they inserted themselves into. They needed to be needed.
Yeah. I mean, just a reminder, we use he, him pronouns here for God. That was just for the
story. Just for this story.
Yeah.
Ever since seminary, it's been so freeing. It's freed my concept of God that I don't do that anymore. I don't use male pronouns. Wouldn't you say that's true for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just like, you know, referring to a person as they, them. It shifts your perception
it
of
really
God,
does.
Of them. It really does. It
broadens out.
Exactly. It expands
it. Yeah. Your understanding, your possibility for them.
So again, we continue to ask these questions. Who is God? What is God's nature? How do we know that? And why are so many churches allergic, it seems, to God's all-inclusive mm-hmm. love? Talk about good news. But why is that so hard? Why do they seem completely averse to that message?
Yeah, to God's love. They are allergic to God's true love. That's right. Well, today, you know, there's so much to unpack and so many places to start. So we're just kind of going to chip away at this false view of God from different angles over time. Mm-hmm. And we'll just do what fits in one episode. How about that? And we'll come back to it another day.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll always come back every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Most every Wednesday.
And we do this because even if you're an atheist, or maybe God is someone that you used to know. Then, you know, we each have a concept.
We take requests, by the way.
Yeah. We each do have a concept of God. And even if you're an atheist, you have a concept of God. And that sets the tone for everything else. And how we see ourselves, how we see humanity, how we see everything starts with how we see God. Is God benevolent, kind, generous, harsh, punishing? Does God think I'm basically a screw up? That sets up your worldview.
It does,
right there.
You know, and the first thing to know and to tell about God is that we project our image of God. I mean, that's just the truth. Pure and simple.
Yeah.
There's no way to see God or anything except through our filter, whatever that is, of our own life. Our experiences, teachings we've received, culture we live in, all of it. And most of it, beloved, was fed to us mm-hmm. in one form or another from early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you grew up in India, for example, your concept of God will be different than if you grew up in Texas.
Exactly.
And if you grew up in Texas, different from you grew up anywhere else in the country. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, our Texans who listen. We know you're out there. Actually, some of our biggest cities are in Texas that we reach, so that's really cool.
I'm a Texan, lest we forget.
And someone who lived 1,000 years ago will see God differently than someone alive today.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, and some concepts are completely false, but whatever concept any of us have, whatever image you have, it's incomplete.
Yeah.
We cannot possibly see all of God, all of the divine, all of the universe. How could we?
Exactly.
And the parts we see on the God screen that light up are the parts where something has been projected onto it.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a blank screen until things are lighted up. And we're not saying God is not real, but that we can only perceive through our own filters, most of which we inherited. So whatever God we see is a God of our construct, even with truth mixed in. It is a God we have packaged.
Right. I mean, anytime you have God in a box of any kind of box, it's too small.
Yeah. And if you remember the Aesop's fable, it's the six blind men are trying to describe an elephant. And one of them runs his hand along the side and says, an elephant is wide and broad like a wall. And one holds a trunk and says, oh, an elephant's like a snake. One feels a leg and says, it's so clear. An elephant is round and tall like a tree. Duh. And one clutches the trunk and says, no, an elephant is sharp like a spear. And one grabs hold of an ear and says, an elephant is like a fan. And one grabs the tail and says, an elephant's like a rope. And each one is so certain, it's so obvious what this elephant is, that they can't understand why others don't see it. And they argue about it for thousands of years.
And they're all right, and they're all wrong.
Yes.
You know?
They're all woefully incomplete.
Incomplete, yeah.
And if you think about it for 1 second.
Wait, 1 second? How about a little, or
okay,
a couple of.
If you think about it for 3 seconds.
Thank you.
You will know that we project onto God. We project onto everything from our own experience.
Mm.
Did I tell you, Rob, that my first husband.
Wait, you were married?
Yeah, I was married for a minute before I met Mr. Wonderful. My first husband.
That's me, by the way.
That's you. Yeah. He would, if we disagreed about something, he would say, I'll be the objective one.
Jeez.
Well, it's just so funny by definition. So between the two of us, he's going to be the objective one. And isn't it true by definition that neither of us would be the objective one because we have two different points of view? And I feel sure, actually, that what he meant is he's less emotional than I am.
Yeah.
Or to read another way, he has less access to his emotions. And that points back to the Kohlberg scale, for those of you who are here for that, that less emotion equals more highly developed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Wrong.
But we digress.
But we digress.
So, the God who was written. Enough about him. What about me? The God who was written into the Bible, and we'll do more on that in a future episode, that God who was written into the Bible is a projection of the men who wrote it.
Yeah, who wrote it, and then edited it, and then translated
yes.
it, and then interpreted it, and then retranslated it, and then more edits. It just goes on and on and on.
Exactly,
and on.
Exactly. And not even, yeah, so, okay. And all of this came, all of that came through human filters. It was not handed down on stone tablets written by the finger of God. And all of God's judgment that people interpreted was handed down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no way to live.
It's not how God wants us to live.
No, but it's how many of us live.
Yeah.
And we hear from you in emails, in comments, and the through line is, I'm afraid of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the common concern that we hear a lot boils down to this. Will God still love me if I'm gay, if I'm pansexual, if I'm transgender, if I marry my partner, if I go to my kid's wedding, will God still love me? Well, the answer is yes. But it's infuriating to me and hurts my heart that we even have to ask.
Yes.
That reveals a huge gap, a huge falsehood, a huge lie from
yes.
the church that we even wonder if.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus was he said to the religious leaders, he said, you scour the earth trying to find a convert. And when you do, you make them twice as fit for Gehenna, the burning dump outside, as you are yourselves.
Which is kind of like trash.
You make them, you make them farther, way farther apart from me than when they started out seeking. And that's what the conservative, evangelical, religious, judgmental religion has done.
Yeah.
They've made you way farther from God in your heart. And that's the wrong direction they were supposed to be moving.
And these fears feel endless. I mean, these are people, you're people that we're doing the best we can. And underneath it, all of this is fear that maybe it's just not good enough.
Yeah. And God's going to be angry.
And God will be angry.
Yeah. And hate us. Right.
And why are we so far from the experience that Jesus talked about of climbing up into God's lap and saying, Dada, because he could suddenly fly off the handle. He, this toxic made God construct we've internalized, this God concept that is taught way too often, it's taught way too often. In way too many churches.
And we've internalized that. And we're taught that we have to protect ourselves, that we have to protect God from our yuckiness. What? That crazy thing about God can't look on your unrighteous, so God doesn't see you. God sees Jesus through you or instead of you or whatever it is. What? That's not fun. That's not satisfying. Is that supposed to be a gift? It's like you, Rob, saying, Susan, I think you're kind of gross, but it's okay. When we have sex, I'm going to think of Jennifer down the street. And I'll say, well, I think I'll pass. I mean, really? It's what kind of BS is that?
Yeah. Well, it's like God is some doddering old fool who has to pretend you're someone else to tolerate being anywhere near you.
Oh, gosh.
You know, this patriarchal church repeats that idea of unworthiness, of fallen humanity, week after week after week. It is the core
of the teaching.
Of the teaching, the core of their theology, the core of the teaching of contempt. And again, now it's gotten so, you know, we have contempt for others. We have contempt for anyone different from us. Well, now we have contempt for God's love for us, contempt for God, contempt for our joy and our freedom.
Yeah.
It runs that deep.
And it loves to be about punishment and fear and sin because those things sell.
And it keeps
your butt in the pew.
That's right.
And your money in the plate.
And
that's
feeling like you have to have them or you're going to get it.
But let me tell you, we've been talking about this on the way on previous episodes here, that the stripping of the feminine from God destroys everything. It destroys everything. We need our missing mother God.
Yeah, not the mother from the story.
From this story, right.
Yeah,
but our missing the true mother God.
Right.
We need that God. Children and babies are naturally wide-eyed, full of wonder. And they're compelled to explore their rich environment with overflowing curiosity. They're not afraid to do the wrong thing and because their grown-ups won't love them anymore. No. And the job of their grown-ups is just to provide safety, provide for their needs and nurture them so they can explore and learn and grow to their heart's content.
Yep.
That the fear that you'll be rejected is a learned fear. It's not inherent.
It doesn't belong. And also that fear, by the way, that you're not acceptable to God, who knows everything about you and might reject you, makes it very difficult to think that you can ever be accepted by anybody else in your life. So we walk around with this feeling that my parents, my friends, my spouse, my partner, no one can accept me.
Yeah. Not really. Not really. Not Not without me really holding my act together.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about me doing the right thing.
Right.
That's right.
And the people who teach you fear have contempt for God's love. Even if it's subconscious, they have contempt for God's love. They don't experience God's love freely given. If they did, they would be happy for it to flow to you too. But they've attached conditions to God's love. That's what they learned, and that's what they teach. And I know this is a broad brush here, and a lot of people in church and in our families don't realize they've attached conditions to God's love. They really don't, because, you know, they inherited that. But that's the rules of the game as they understand them, and they don't understand God's love, that love itself flows freely, that they may never have experienced it, and they don't want God's love to be free, especially the leadership. They want you to pay them for God's love with your dependence, your codependence, and your tithing. And they have inserted themselves as the middleman where they are not needed.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happened. It's contempt for God's love and contempt for joy. They have contempt for joy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, but when we talk with people who are still very much entrenched in the church, it's like they just don't quite understand that. Well, what do you mean? Of course we know God's love is amazing and his grace is full, but not really. But that's not what the core, what we're saying is that in most of Christianity, modern Christianity today, those core teachings that say that you're unworthy, that you're broken, that you're fallen, that there's eternal punishment coming if you don't do the right thing or say the right thing or believe the right thing. Those are the core fundamental beliefs of the Christian church. If you just stop for a moment, I think, or for more than a second, or for 3 seconds, or 3 years, or 10 years, whatever it takes, and begin to look at that, deconstruct that, all heaven breaks loose the moment you open the box. But the church has ingrained in us this absolute terror of opening the box. That's why when you do, you hear, oh, heretic, backslidden, weren't even a Christian in the first place. Whatever it is that you hear, that we hear.
Don't you know we don't open that box?
Yeah.
Come on. You said most of Christianity, we qualify this, most of conservative Christianity.
Well, when we say conservative, we don't mean political. I mean like traditional.
Rules-based.
Exactly.
Traditional is what, like, it's a different word. Traditional is the Methodist, Presbyterians, Episcopal. That's actually traditional Christianity. In this conservative, like this...
Rules-based.
Rules-based, patriarchal, evangelical,
Southern
Baptist.
Yeah.
All of it, charismatic, all of that is what we're talking about here. We love that the other churches...
Yeah.
Are doing their thing and showing God's love. So,
but isn't it ironic that our joy and our sense of being loved has exploded in the best way possible since we left the organized Sunday morning church?
Yes, it's amazing. So it's like all those things you're afraid of. It's like I'm the gay person your mom told you to be afraid of. I'm the trans persons they told you to fear. Yeah, we're the... we're the beyond church Christians. They told you we're heretics. Yeah. And we're more like Jesus than we ever were.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about the original question that everyone asks when they begin deconstruction that we started with in this deep dive into teachings of contempt. And that's, if I'm wrong about this, what else am I wrong about?
Right.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting? We always ask that with fear, not joy.
Yeah, like if I found freedom in this, what else can I find freedom
exactly,
in?
Exactly, exactly. And this, as we were planning this episode, I was thinking about this. It occurred to me that when we come from that background, that cult of certainty and our fear of getting it wrong, of messing up, of stirring God's simmering anger, then we're afraid to ask the question, what else am I wrong about?
Yeah, that's right. If we weren't afraid, we would say, oh my gosh, God does not have a problem with queer people. I see it. What? Oh my gosh, it's what I see it now. What freedom that gives me. The church taught me wrong and now I'm free. I can hardly wait to see what else they're wrong about.
Thank God. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That would be the appropriate response. Like Sheldon in Big Bang Theory, if you remember, saying, now is the time to clap. It's like, now is the time to rejoice. But we don't, because the system makes us afraid of uncertainty, of anything unknown. So it does not welcome the unknown, because it's afraid of losing its empire. And that's what it's about. Like any business passes its costs on to the customer, the church passes its fears on to the customer.
You know, and sometimes people say, what if you're wrong?
Yeah.
What if you're wrong about all of this?
We're not.
And if I'm wrong about all of this, I'll tell you what I'm wrong about. I've underplayed it all. I've underplayed God's love, the joy, the freedom. I haven't even scratched the surface.
Yes.
If we're wrong about this, that's what we're wrong about. So, well, let's wrap this up today. Thank you for staying with us and listening. Think of all the ways your joy has been stolen from you and replaced with fear. Think of how your sense of wonder has been replaced with a veneer of certainty. Think of all the questions you'd ask if you felt free to ask them.
Yes.
Who benefits from you not experiencing God's free-flowing love? Who benefits and who is hurt? In the next few episodes, we're going to talk about more contempt. Contempt for humanity. Is the so-called fall of man real or not? We're going to talk about contempt for our free will, especially how it involves our children, and how the naysayers want to replace your free will with theirs, and how that bleeds over into contempt for ourselves, for children, for justice, all of these things. Beloved, no kidding, no kidding here. God has your photo on their fridge, and they've got the most amazing freaking fridge. Oh my gosh.
All the best snacks.
Yeah, all the best snacks. You are a delight and a joy. And maybe it's time to realize that and start thinking of ourselves that way. Maybe even put our own photo on our fridge.
Love it.
We love you. We'll talk to you next
time. We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.